Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Ben McDonald, former LSU pitcher. He's also ESPN and SEC Network baseball analyst, also color analyst for the Baltimore Orioles radio. Big Ben, how are you?
Good. How are you today?
I'm good. Look, 1-5 for the LSU Tigers in conference play. They got swept by Tennessee. What do you make of the slow start?
Oh, gosh, it's not good. It is not good. There's a little panic going on down here on the bayou, I can tell you that. It's rough, you know. I mean, it's not the start that they hoped for, obviously not the start that they wanted. And, look, I don't see it getting any better. You got Vanderbilt coming to town and arguably the two best pitchers in the entire country. You're going to see Kumar Rocker on Thursday night. You'll see Jack Leiter on Friday night, and to be honest with you, I think LSU would be lucky to score two runs in both of those games combined.
That's not good. So is this
no.
youth? Is that the issue, Ben?
Well, I think that's got something to do with it, yeah. I would agree that it's a young class, but the question I have is, okay, if you're freshman heavy, why are you freshman heavy? Where's your sophomore class? Where's your junior class? Where's your senior class? Where's your fifth-year senior class? Where are your players on a year when you got unlimited roster space for the first time in Division I baseball in forever? So why are you so freshman heavy this year? You know, and so I think there's a lot of questions that need to be answered. It is a very talented freshman group. There's no doubt about that. It's the number two ranked freshman class in the entire country that LSU brought to campus this year. Having said that, when you start dealing with freshmen in the SEC and you start leaning hard on those freshmen in SEC play, when you're facing the best competition in the entire country, things can be a little bit inconsistent. And that's kind of where the offense is right now, right? I mean, it's like they can score some runs. They are hitting some home runs, which is a good thing, but you know, you have trouble coming up with the big hits, and that's what I see for LSU. They're getting guys on base, but that big base hit with two out and runners on second and third have just not been there for them, you know. And you talk about the starting pitchers. I mean, Marceau's been as good as anybody. He has been really good. A.J. Labus is doing his thing, too, on Sundays. He was really good yesterday. But Jaden Hill's a little bit of a mystery to me. You know, it's you're supposed to be a top five pick in the country. You know, he hadn't had a very good outing. I think he's had one good outing in his last four, you know. So he needs to really turn the corner for the Tigers and become a little bit more consistent. I think consistency is what he's looking for, you know. And then when you get to the bullpen, you talk about not much consistency at all. So there's a lot of questions need to be answered right now for LSU. But see, you got to get it together quick, because if you don't, if LSU somehow gets swept this weekend or only wins one, I mean, you start off a season where you're 2-7 in SEC play, it's almost over with. Like, you're not catching back up to Ole Miss, who is 6-0, and Arkansas, who's 5-1. And remember, LSU still got to play Vanderbilt. They're number one. Arkansas is number two. Ole Miss is number three in the country. You still have those three series coming. So it's going to have to get better in a hurry if LSU is going to get this thing turned around. And if they don't, they're going to struggle even to make postseason play this year.
You mentioned Jaden Hill having a few rough outings. Is it because of his inability to basically – get ahead early in counts with off-speed stuff? Teams were sitting on his fastball.
Yeah, I mean, it all begins with fastball command. You know, and I don't mind somebody sitting on my fastball, but if I know that, that means I got to make quality pitches with my fastball, right? There's a such thing as a strike and a quality strike. Well, Jaden's not throwing quality strikes with his fastball. If I know you're swinging first pitch fastball, that's great to me. If I can throw it where it needs to be, down and away or down and in, I'm going to get a first pitch ground ball. I don't mind that because I can work deeper in a ball game. But when you're splitting the plate, when you don't have to, and guys are geared up for the fastball, they're going to find a barrel to it a lot of times. You know, and that's kind of where he's been. He's fallen behind in counts. He's gotten 2-0 and 3-1 a lot and gotten a lot of predictable counts. and he's had to pay for it. And look, he flashes brilliance from time to time, and I think that's what's so frustrating for Alan Dulles, the pitching coach at LSU right now, is that, look, he'll flash it for an inning or he'll flash it for a couple of batters, and then it starts to get a little, the plate starts jumping around a little bit on him. So I think he's fighting his mechanics a little bit. But let's not forget, you're talking about a young man who came in, had 21 college innings under his belt when his junior year began. That's all he had. And so he's not very experienced. He's never pitched to SEC hitters before this year. So in a lot of ways, he's having to learn at the highest level you can learn at in amateur baseball, and that's in the SEC. And there's going to be some dark nights every now and then when that happens. You just hope he finds his groove, he finds his confidence, because LSU's not going anywhere without Jaden Hill being a true ace.
Ben McDonald, former LSU pitcher, ESPN and SEC Network baseball analyst, also the color analyst for the Baltimore Orioles radio network. And Ben, how much of the blame falls at the feet of LSU coach Paul Menieri? I mean, there's a few that, and they've been doing this for years, where they want to run that guy out of town, and he's the active winningest coach in college baseball right now, and that seems silly to me. But how much blame does he deserve?
Well, I mean, listen, you know, I try to sit back and I try to look about, okay, where's the program going? Right? What direction is the program going? And so when you look back on it, I think Paul deserves some of the blame, right? I mean, he's the head coach, and so he's the captain of the ship. And you go back to 2017, LSU goes to their last College World Series they've been to. 2018, Paul wins 39 games. 2018, Paul wins 40 games. Okay, so that's two off years in a row. Paul averaged 46, 47 wins a year his first 10 years at LSU. So those are two off years in a row. Let's be honest about last year. Last year, LSU was 12-5. They were dead last in the SEC before conference play started in team batting average. They were hitting .250. There was no signs at all that last year was going to be a good year for LSU. And you could make the case in some ways COVID might have saved LSU last year from having a really bad year. Okay, so you could make the case that last year was a little bit of an off year too. Now if you have an off year again this year, you're talking about four off years at LSU from what LSU standards are. Okay, so when you look at a program, and let me remind you of this, Florida has been to 7 of the last 10 College World Series. Vanderbilt's been to 3 of the last 6 College World Series and won 2 of them. Florida won one of those, by the way. Arkansas has been to 4 of the last 7 College World Series. Mississippi State has been to 3 of the last 5 College World Series. So now all of a sudden, I'm going to ask you, what direction do you think the program is going compared to other programs in the SEC right now? And it's pretty clear that LSU is not in that upward trend. If anything, they're in a little bit of a downward trend, and the rest of the league is in an upward trend.
So after this season, say LSU goes, I don't know, 11-19 in the SEC, is it then time to look at possibly moving on from Paul Menieri?
Well, that's a great question, and obviously that's not my decision to make, but if you're the athletic director and you're sitting back and you're looking at it, you know, are you looking at a program that's in decline? Are you looking at a program that's moving upwards or trending upwards? You know, and so, I mean, there's always going to be rumbling because of the expectations, right, at LSU in baseball because of where Skip Bertman put it. And so there's a lot always expected from the baseball program. But what's not expected, I think, is a downward trend. Maybe you get one downward trend, but then you pick back up again. But like I said, if this ends up being an off year, and it's every indication that it will, you could certainly make the case it's 4 years in a row, you know. And it's kind of like LSU football, right? You can't win the national title 1 year and then win 6 games or whatever it was the next year. And everybody says, well, they had so many players drafted. Well, guess what? Was that a surprise? No, you adjust accordingly because you know those guys are going to get drafted. Alabama gets 12 players drafted every year, but you see they got 12 more taking their spot because they have that freshman class, that sophomore class, that junior class, and guys are rolling through there because you recruit accordingly to what you think you're going to lose. And so it's not an excuse to win the national title and win 5 or 6 games. That's not acceptable. And I just think at LSU we hold ourselves to a higher standard, especially with our baseball program. And so I understand the rumblings out there. I love Paul Menieri. He is a Hall of Fame coach. He has won nearly 1,500 games in his 39-year career, you know. But having said that, you know, we at LSU expect more. We expect, you know, upper twins. We expect to be in the College World Series every couple of years. We just expect that, you know. And so it's just not happening right now. And I know they're young, and I think they'll get it going. I think they're going to play better. The bad news is, look, you got the number 1, 2, and 3 teams in the country coming your way. in the next 5 or 6 weekends. And so you better buckle up and get it turned around in a hurry, because if you don't, you're going to get covered up big time.
Ben McDonald, former LSU pitcher, ESPN and SEC Network baseball analyst. And Ben, right now, this past weekend, 29 free passes issued by the LSU pitching staff. That's got to get corrected, or they're not turning anything around.
That's right. And look, it starts, and again, we talk about the starters. Two of the three have been very good, but some of those guys in that bullpen have just not been what they thought they were going to get. You know, Fontenot, I think, is really close, and he's showing signs of coming along in that back end back there, but he's still just a tick off to me. You know, certainly it hurt losing Matthew Beck, the fifth-year senior. You know, he's down with an elbow injury. He was kind of that, you know, that setup guy for Fontenot back there. But Mikhail Hillier's been a little bit erratic at the back end, been really good at times, but not so good at others. You know, I love the freshman class. I mean, Ty Floyd, Will Helmers, those guys I think are going to be really good pitchers. I like those guys, right? But like we talked about, when you're relying on true freshmen at the back end in SEC games, sometimes you're not going to get that consistency you want, you know? And so I think the whole team needs to kind of look in the mirror a little bit and just figure out a way to be a little bit more competitive. Striking out has been an issue, as you know, for LSU. They are striking out a ton right now. And I think the talk's got to be, you know, from a hitting standpoint, okay, we got to find out, guys, if we got to cut our swings down a little bit like we used to years ago, put more balls in play, that's what we need to do. Because obviously, if we put a ball in play, we got a chance. Somebody makes an error, maybe it finds a hole or whatever. But if we're punching out all the time, it's not going to be good. And especially this weekend coming up. I mean, you know what? Jack Leiter's only got, 16 consecutive no-hit innings in the SEC. Kumar Rocker, expected to be the number one pick in the country. It's not going to get any easier at all, you know. So there are going to be some adjustments made. And, look, I know they're working hard over there. They're trying to do their best. And I know there's a lot of emphasis. And, you know, this midweek game is going to be a big one for them to try to get a little bit of momentum and kind of get it going a little bit and going into the weekend.
What do you make of Cade Beloso's struggles at the plate? He was so good his freshman year.
Yeah, you know, that's a mystery. You know, it's a mystery all the way around. I can tell you this, just looking at him, you can tell he doesn't have a whole lot of confidence, but that's only normal for a 20, 21-year-old kid who's in the funk that he's in right now. So the body language isn't great. And look, he's actually swung the bat better than what his numbers show. You know, he's hit some balls hard this year, not had a whole lot of luck. That normally evens out over the course of the series. Early in the year, he barreled up a lot of balls that were line drives to right field, line drives to center field. So he hadn't had a whole lot of love. We know that, you know, but he's a mystery. A guy that had double-digit home runs, you know, his freshman year. Then last year, only played, you know, 16 games, and he had one home run. The batting average was good. I think he hit, you know, .315, but only one home run. So that was a concern. You hope that power numbers would come back because, look, he's really the only everyday starter that's been a starter for 3 years for LSU, right? The rest of those guys have not had a whole lot of experience. Gavin Dugas kind of in and out his first couple of years. Started a little bit last year. And of course, he's been the guy this year, and he's performed well. But those two or three guys are the only guys that carried some experience into the year for LSU. So you hope a leader like Cade Beloso, wonderful young man, and you hope he gets it going. And they need him, too, because he's right in the middle part of that lineup, and they need him to kind of get it going.
How do you fix clutch hitting? Like, you know, LSU had 38 hits, I think, and only 11 runs in the three-game
right.
series against Tennessee. I mean, how do you – they stranded 25 runners on base.
Yeah. Well, you know, pitchers pitch differently, you know, and I always found a way, and I think most pitchers do, when you know you're in a trouble, you find a way to kind of elevate your stuff a little bit, right? When you know it's second and third and two out and the base hit's going to cost you two runs, you find a way to give a little bit extra, right, and make your best pitches to get out of those jams. So I think some way with hitters, you know, can you relax in those situations? Can you – kind of hit the reset button and pause for a second and just relax and let your abilities take over. You know, are you going to be tensed up and squeeze that bat a little bit harder, maybe swing at some pitches because you're a little bit overly aggressive? And that's one thing going on with a young team right now. A young team doesn't know how to go through struggles and quickly get themselves out of it. It seems to stay there for a while. And that's kind of where these young hitters are for LSU. It's almost like everybody's kind of looking around waiting for somebody else to do it instead of somebody else saying, you know what, I'm going to do it. I'm going to be the guy that's going to get this big base hit. You know, and that only comes with experience. You know, Dylan Cruz, I think, is, if not the most talented, one of the most talented freshmen I've ever seen at LSU. You know, Trey Morgan, old Captain Morgan, he's going to be an outstanding player too. But at the end of the day, when they're hitting 1-2 or 1-3 in your lineup is true freshmen, there's going to be some difficulties along the way. You know, I think Doty's a really good player too. So there are some pieces to the puzzle there for LSU. It's just a matter of can they relax a little bit and let their abilities take over, you know. And if you look at the lineup, it's kind of the back end of that lineup that's really hurting LSU right now. I mean, they're not getting a whole lot of production down at 7, 8, and 9, you know, and that's got to get better too, you know. Alex Melizer is a great defensive catcher, but offensively he got a couple of hits this weekend, so you hope he got a little bit of confidence, you know, going. Can Collier Cranford get it going, you know, down at 8-hole a little bit, 9-hole, wherever he's going to be. So there's a lot that's got to get better for LSU. I think it's in the tank farm. We've seen some rough starts for LSU, and we've seen some kind of regain themselves along the way. I think it's in the tank. The question is, how quickly can they get out of it?
It seems been like LSU is in every SEC game so far this year, it's been a pitch here or a pitch there, an out here or an out there that they can't secure, or a runner at second base with one out, or runners at second and third with one out, and they don't get In other words, it seems like they're close and they just can't come through.
No, I would agree with that. They are right there, and I think that's what you take positive out of it. It's not like they're just getting blown out of the gym every game, right? That's not happening. They could have very easily have won 3 or 4, maybe 5 of these SEC games. They are really that close, you know. So I think that's a positive thing to take out of it. I think once you start getting those big hits, making those big pitches, somebody steps up in the bullpen, I think everybody's going to get confidence. And that's why I think there's hope out there for LSU, because I think they're really, really close to getting over that hump and being a team that can make a little bit of a run. You know, my fear is, you know, if they don't get it turned around this weekend and you, heaven forbid, get swept or lose 2 of 3, you know, you all of a sudden you've had dug yourself a tremendous hole to try to get out of. So I think this weekend you could kind of put a star by it, an asterisk by it, as you may circle this one on the calendar and say, okay, this is the weekend LSU kind of made or really broke their season in a lot of ways.
Ben McDonald, former LSU pitcher, also former LSU basketball player. Ben, who you got in the Elite Eight? What games? Who you got winning all? How's your bracket looking?
Well, I didn't even fill out a bracket. I got so crazy with baseball this year, you know. But I've watched Gonzaga a little bit. It's hard to get away from the Zags, right? They're pretty daggum good. Seems like they always are, you know. And so I followed it whenever I could. But March Madness brings back some really good memories. It brings back my freshman year at LSU when we made that run to the Elite Eight. And, you know, Bobby Knight slammed the phone and Nikita Wilson missed that last second jump shot, or we'd have been in the Final Four. But Indiana would go on and win that game, of course, win the national title that year, you know. So March Madness is one of my favorite times of the year long, because baseball, SEC play is kicked up. Spring training is just about over. The big league boys are about ready to start playing. And we got college basketball, too. So it doesn't get a whole lot better than that.
Ben, do you think the college game is trending towards the MLB game? In other words, strikeouts, high strikeouts, home runs, and kind of niche pitchers?
Absolutely. I mean, well, we've always said this, whatever happens at the big league level always trickles down to the college level, you know. And when they changed the balls about 3 or 4 years ago in college baseball, and we started getting a ball that, you know, that flew a little bit further, teams and coaches started realizing they could hit homers again, you know. And then we started seeing about launch angle and bat path and getting the ball in the air at the big league level. That trickled down, and we're seeing more home runs. We're setting home run records every year in college baseball for the BB Corbett era, right? And but we're also setting records for the most strikeouts. And so we've always said that whatever happens at the big league level, you'll see it trickle down. That's where the big league level is right now, too. I mean, they're hitting record home runs, but they're striking out more than they ever have, too. So I think it's a fad, a phase that we're in a lot of ways. I think we're going to see, you know, the Wade Boggs and the Paul Molitor approaches, Kirby Puckett approaches come back more in the next few years, because I think there's going to be a value, especially at the college level, of putting a ball in play, because college guys just don't play defense as well as the big league guys do, right? And when you put balls in plays, guys make error, balls find holes, you know. So I think you're going to see college coaches start to go more back to that traditional, let's have a more flat bat that creates a little more contact at the college level, because it's going to be what wins ball games. At the big league level, I'm not sure what's going to happen there, just because guys are getting paid. Look, as long as an athlete is getting paid $15 million a year to punch out 180 times and he hits 250, but he hits 30 home runs, and they're still paying him $15 million to do that, I don't know if hitters are going to change their approach at the big league level, you know. But as soon as they start putting value back into guys hitting 300 and hitting 20 home runs versus hit 250 and hitting 30 home runs, I think you'll see some things change a little bit. But that's just kind of where the game is right now. It is what it is. And I think as players, you adapt to what's going on and how you're getting paid and what wins ball games. And they think that wins ball games right now. So that's kind of where it's at.
I long for the days of, you know, Will Clark and Mark Grace and even Ichiro. You know, guys that can pop the ball out of the ballpark, but they were going to get on base hitting.
That's right. I mean, can you imagine Mark Grace punching out 200 times a year, you know, or Kirby Puckett or Wade Boggs or Paul Molitor? Those guys didn't strike out a whole lot. And look, if you're a good pitcher today, I would have loved to pitch in today's era. It's a great era to pitch in because if you have a plus fastball and you can get it to the top of the quadrant of that strike zone, all these uppercut swings, now you can have a lot of success in today's game. The guys that wore me out were the guys that had that flat bat, that their bat stayed in the path of that baseball a long time, you know, and those guys were hard to get out, you know. And so it's a pretty unique game right now. It's got something for everybody at the big league level. If you like home runs, you're seeing them. If you like power pitchers that strike guys out, you're having fun doing that too. So it's a pretty good game right now. It's just a little bit different game than what we're used to seeing in years past.
Ben, I got a curveball. I'm going to throw your weight. Just keep your weight back. You know how to handle that. It's not necessarily about college baseball. It's about the big leagues. And in particular, I'm curious to know your opinion as a former big leaguer that I know you love and respect the history of that sport. Should Pete Rose be in the Hall of Fame? Because you can't start tell a story of Major League Baseball without talking about the all-time hits king.
Right. And look, I have been a Pete Rose fan. He was one of my favorite guys growing up as a kid. There was two players that I idolized. It was Nolan Ryan because of how hard he threw and Charlie Hustle because I loved the way he played the game. He played it at wide open 100%. So those are two of my idols growing up. I've always thought the Hall of Fame should be what you did as a ball player. And I'm not saying Pete Rose didn't, but he made huge mistakes because he gambled on baseball as a manager. But in my opinion, he didn't do it as a ball player, right? He did it and he collected 4,100, whatever it was, hits. He deserves to be in the Hall of Fame because I think it should be for what you did when you were a ball player, you know. But unfortunately, that's not what it is now. I mean, Curt Schilling is a dear friend of mine. He, you know, Curt can say some things to get out of whack from time to time. But when you compare Curt Schilling's numbers and what he did in the playoffs and the World Series, Curt Schilling should be a Hall of Famer too. But it seems like some of the voting has gotten a little bit political and some of the people don't like what Curt Schilling says. I don't care what somebody says. If I'm going to grade somebody on where they deserve to be in the Hall of Fame, I'm going to grade them on how they performed. What was your performance when you played the game of baseball? And to me, the performance of Pete Rose is undeniable. The performance of Curt Schilling should be, both of them should be in the Hall of Fame. There's no doubt about that. And I'm not protecting any of them and saying anything that they did right or wrong. And, you know, both of them may have said some things. Certainly Curt Schilling did, and certainly Pete Rose did something he shouldn't have done. But he did it as a manager. He didn't do it as a ball player. And so my opinion is he belongs in the Hall of Fame.
Ben McDonald, former LSU pitcher, ESPN and SEC Network baseball analyst, also a color analyst for the Baltimore Orioles radio network. Ben, thank you so much for the insight.
Anytime, guys. Good talking to you. Take care.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly.